Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are starting our brand new sermon series called We Are the Church. So we say it here at Buckeye all the time, and I hear people saying over and over again that we the people, we are the church. The church is not just this building here. It is actually the people itself. The Christians who follow, serve, and gather together, that is the church. If our church building was to cease to exist tomorrow, the truth is, we would still be the church. So this always brings me back to the church that I was leading in Indiana. So after I left that church, what we had was another man and a couple volunteers that were going to keep it running. And this guy that was going to be the minister there, he had gone to college to be a minister himself. And so the idea was to bring him up. And as we leave, he takes over, and we had some transitioning, and it was going well. And so they kept meeting and worshiping and growing closer to God together as we left to go here in Ohio. But unfortunately, the one who took over for me, he got very sick. And for a while, he was very sick. And then he passed away in his early 30s. And so it was a really sad thing that happened there. And at the point, the church that was all together decided, you know what, let's go ahead and split and go our separate ways. And one thing that I struggled with for a while is the thought that the church that I put my blood, sweat, and tears into, it failed. It no longer exists. The church is literally gone. And so that church has failed, meaning that I have failed. But that is so false. Those people whom I led as their minister, whom I had the pleasure to teach, whom I had the privilege to baptize, they are still followers of Christ. They are leading their family and their friends to Christ. They are helping and changing their local churches and their communities. So the church did the opposite of failing, because the individuals who are the church, they are thriving. They are still following, because truly, we the people, we are the church. Now, there are a lot of different verses about the body of Christ, and we can talk about how we each have our own gifts and we have our own talents to bring. We can talk about where we fit into this body of Christ, but before we get into any of that, we have to understand what God is calling us to do and to do as a church and individually. It's not just about the gathering together. It's not just about the organization and the building, but about who we are as followers of Christ. And so that's where we're going to start. We're going to turn to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows, and we have a stack in the back there. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Someone asked me recently, "So you've been saying that like every week for a long time. Do you still need to keep saying that we're going to give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye?" And then it was like 3 weeks ago, someone new came, walked out, had a Bible in hand, and they said, "This is so awesome that you give these away for free." And I was like, "Done. All right. It's going to be said till the end of time." You know, even if one person every 5 years takes one, you know what? I think it's great. So I will keep saying that. So before we jump into Matthew 5, 13 through 16, I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening here. So this is from Jesus' most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. We get a lot of great insights and practices on how to follow God closer here and things that we should and should not be doing. And in this section that we're looking at today, it's talking about, as followers of Christ, what we should be to the world. And so we're going to read Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, when people read this, it would be very simple for us to say, well, this is talking about the church organization that we know today. And for thousands of years, the church itself has been a beacon of hope. It's been a place of sanctuary for those who are hurting. One of the reasons that churches actually have steeples is so people could see them from a long way off. And it would literally be a light for them to go for refuge. It became a light on a hill. They would see it far away and go, oh, I can find sanctuary, peace, whatever I need from this place. So the idea of the church building and the organization being the light, it makes sense. But this breaks down much further than this because it's about the individual. You as a follower of Christ, this is talking about you. It says you are the salt of the earth. You are the one that's going to preserve it. You are the one that's going to give it flavor. You are the one to bring God's goodness to the world by living for Him. And it tells us if you are not salty anymore, not like angry or, you know, sassy. Okay, that's not the kind of salt we're talking about here. No, it's actually bringing the good stuff. Salt was worth so much back then. And it's saying if you are not acting as salt anymore, if you are not a follower of Christ, then what good is it? What good is all of this that you're doing? And then it says here that we are also the light. You are the light personally. And this is the one that we get trapped in, because what do we want to do with the truth about us knowing Jesus? We want to hide our light. We want to hide our lamp. We want to say, ooh, I really don't want to draw in attention. Because what happens when light is in the darkness? It draws people in. And it's not all people that are saying, oh, I really needed this. It's not all people saying, oh, I'm with you. This is good and great. No, you're going to be showcased, and there are going to be people that see your light and they want to put it out. They want to stop you. You may be hated. They may be coming to destroy you because your light is shining. And I'm going to say something that's going to sting a little bit. The problem is, the way we've been doing things, our light is hidden as a whole. What's happening is the church organization that we come to know today, it's actually made weak Christians. And I'm going to tell you why. We've become weak followers of Christ as a whole. It is so easy to say that we people, we are the church, but that means that when we leave this building, we have to go and live for Christ every day. And too often we are seeing followers of Christ fall short as soon as they walk out this door. And it's all because they rely on the church, this building, the organization, to make them a strong Christian. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So this is what I mean. I'm going to give you some examples. So we say things like, well, I haven't done much serving lately in my life because the church organization doesn't really have any serving opportunities for me at the moment. So I'm waiting till the church does something that I can get involved in. And we say things like, well, I haven't really studied the Bible and God's Word lately because the Bible studies at the church right now that they're offering, I'm not really interested in. And so I'll wait till a Bible study comes across that really fits my needs. We say things like, well, I haven't really given my money and time because there really isn't anything that I say, oh yeah, I really want to give to this at the church right now. So I just kind of hold on to it and I'll use it and give it when I feel it is the right time. And then there's the one that I hear way too often. It's, I'm not feeling close to God lately. And it's because the church hasn't really been feeding me spiritually. So that's why I'm far from God. The church isn't giving me what I need. Now, the church itself, I want you to know, it should have opportunities to learn and grow and serve. That is a proper thing to do. It needs to be happening. But this is not your only opportunities to follow God. It cannot be that way. It's about what you're choosing to do in your everyday life. We should be reading and studying on our own. We should be getting spiritually fed from our own worship to God, the life that we're living, and what we're reading and doing. We should be serving in our lives wherever God is calling us. We should be serving and helping the church organization. Of course, we need to do that because it's the easiest place to actually get involved, but we have to do so much more than just what the church is offering. It has to be a daily thing that you choose. And this is exactly what Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 16, 21 through 27. So let's go over a couple chapters. We're going to turn to Matthew 16, 21 through 27 and see what that says. It says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'Never, Lord,' he said. 'This shall never happen to you.' Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done.'" So we see here Jesus is telling his followers what is going to happen. He's telling them the future. Jesus knows he's going to suffer at the hands of all the Jewish leaders. He's going to be beaten and he's going to be killed. But then he tells them, "But it's okay. I'm going to come back to life." Obviously, they miss that memo when you read through the story because they're all like shocked and confused. But yeah, he's telling them what's going to happen. And then we see poor Peter speaking from his heart out of passion, out of anger. We talked about this last week. We looked at Peter also acting out of his passion and anger. And Peter fights with Jesus and he says to him pretty much, "Not on my watch. That ain't going to happen. I will never allow this." But this was not God's plan that Peter's saying. God's plan was for Jesus to be the sacrifice for us, to stand in place for our sins and the things that we've done wrong, not to condemn us, but to save us. And Jesus knows this. And we get this really strong statement where Jesus calls Peter Satan. And that is because Jesus knows God's plan. Jesus knows it's going to be hard. Jesus knows it's going to hurt a lot. He didn't want to have to do this, but if this was the only way that mankind could be saved, he's going to do it. Because Jesus has to make a choice, and he chose to save us. So he looks at Peter, and he calls him Satan. And he says it because you're being a stumbling block to me. Because you're only thinking of the now. You're only thinking out of your own anger and passion. You're not thinking about God's plan. Again, this is not something you ever want to have Jesus say to you by calling you Satan. Okay, that sounds terrible. All right, Jesus shows up and, "Get behind me, Satan." I'm like, "Oh, okay, that was rough, but maybe I needed it. Maybe Peter needed it at that time." But it's verse 24 that we really need to focus on. Because he takes what happens and he uses it as a teaching moment. And he says to all the disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my follower, you have to deny yourself. And what do you have to do instead? Take up your cross daily." That means to follow in Jesus' footsteps by following God's plan for our lives. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, "Well, go to your local church building and talk with the pastor. Find out the serving opportunities and what they offer." That's not what happened. Jesus is talking to them personally. And that means he's talking about us personally. When you wake up in the morning, you get to make a choice. Are you going to deny your wants? Are you going to pick up that cross and live like Jesus today? Or are you going to go and live for whatever you want to live for? We have a choice every single day. Are you going to love as Jesus does? Are you going to serve others as Jesus did? Are you going to pray to God personally today? Are you going to give God your whole heart and your whole mind for this day? Why? Because you are the church. You are the light. And you have to choose Him every single day. And verse 25 gives us the why. He says, if you want to save your life, to truly have salvation, you need to give up that life, that living for here and now. That's got to go away. You're not going to find it in the church building. You're going to find it in your relationship with Jesus. Again, I have to tell you, I'm not bashing the church as an organization, because we know we are supposed to gather. We are to worship together, to serve together, to love right here together. This place is to bring us together so we can draw closer to God, and that we can draw closer in understanding who He is, what He wants for us and from us. But it comes down to the question, what about the rest of your life? You're not in this building 24/7. Trust me, I know, I'm here. But you're not. You have your life to live. And that is exactly what Jesus is teaching His disciples. Be the church. Be disciples. Follow Him daily. What you can gain here on this earth, you have to understand, it means nothing. Jesus flat out says, what good is it to have everything that the world can offer, but in the process, you gave up your soul? What you did was you gave up your eternity for what you think will make you happy right now. And I think Paul does an amazing job about what it looks like to live for God and not for yourself. And that's why we're going to turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 through 17. Romans 8, 1 through 17. Paul always has some very strong words, so brace yourself for these things. But I love how he words all of this. And it is a big chunk of verses. And then I'll go ahead and explain what he's talking about. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So I love how it starts out, because it's flat out. It says, you, followers of Christ, those who say, I know who Jesus is, I know that he died for me, he says, there is no condemnation for you. You are not condemned. And why is that? Verse 2 says, because Jesus' death, he paid the price. He paid your price. And it says, it set you free. You are free from sin. You are free from death. That means you have the choice. So what do you do with that freedom? Do you choose to just go back living the life for here and now? Or are we going to live for something so much more? That's what that freedom is. You don't have to give in to sin because you know there's another way. That's the freedom. Do we go back to our earthly desires and sins? Or do we choose to live by the Spirit who is God in us and follow his perfect will and his perfect plan? And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. But I love that he weighs the options for us. Because you can live for the now. You're allowed. You can live for your desires. You're allowed to do what you think will make you feel good or fulfill you. But Paul flat out says that living for the now, living for the flesh, that means you are living against God. Verse 7 says, when your mind and your thoughts are all about your desires, you are living a life against him. It uses the word that you are hostile to God. And because of that, we're told that you cannot please God when you're living that way. And what that means is you just haven't surrendered your life to him. You are still holding on to the things that you want. You're saying, this is more important. You're still trying to run the show that is your life. I'm going to tell you right now, that usually doesn't turn out well. And that's going to lead you somewhere. It says it's going to lead you to death, destruction, and separation from God. But as Paul does, he gives us this positive side. He says, but for those who are for God, who choose to be the light, who pick up their cross and walk the way of God every day. Verse 10, it says, even though your body will die, guess what? You get life. You get eternal life with Christ because of righteousness, because of holiness, because we know that God has washed us clean when you are following him. You get to be with him. Then comes the awesome argument for those who know the truth about Jesus in verse 12. It says, brothers and sisters, you have an obligation. And it's not an obligation to do whatever you feel like. Because again, that life only leads to pain and death. It says, but those who follow God, you're a child of God. I'm not gonna lie, I love that so much. I love reading this over and over again. God is my Father. And I love the word they use, that God is my Abba. He's taken me in. I'm just this wretched, horrible child. But he loves me so much. He has adopted me. He chose me. And this is the best line ever. It's, I am officially in the family of the creator of the universe. How can that not excite you? I want you to know, if you have chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are officially in the family of the creator of the universe. Your Father, your Abba, he wants to lead you. He wants to love you. Abba, our God, wants to show you what the world actually means when you're living in his family. That we can live for so much more than the here and now. That we get to live with God and for God. You know why? Because we are the church. It is time to step up and step out. Stop hiding our light. Stop only shining your light in this building. We need to go out into the world and share the good news and to show it in our lives every single day. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. In your daily life, the question is, are you being the church? It is time to step it up. And if you're already being the church, let's go even further. How we talk to people daily needs to represent God and the church. How we serve people daily needs to represent God and the church. How we read and study the Word of God is going to show how we are being the church. This week, let us all step closer to God and be the church every day. Carry our cross. Be the light. So I want you to know that the end of this sermon series on December 1st, it's the last Sunday for this sermon series, we're going to do something a little different. So when 2020 happened and we had to go all digital, we were still the church. It did not stop us. We still lived our lives for Him. We kept spreading the news and diving into the Word of God. Now, before you start to freak out, we're not going back to that, okay? We are not repeating that unless something crazy happens. It won't be my fault then. But we are not going back to that. But December 1st is Thanksgiving weekend. And since we are the church, no matter where we are, the ask is going to be for those of you who are part of Buckeye, we'd love for you to watch in your homes and different gatherings outside this building. Some of you are already going to be with family and friends for the holidays. This is the perfect opportunity to gather together in your homes there, to have church together, because we are the church no matter where we are. Invite those to watch with you online and do a church service together where you're at. We're still going to have the doors open. We're still going to have me preaching here, and we're going to have music and all the stuff that we normally would do. But I'm going to ask those of you who are Buckeye people, please gather together outside here. Be the church. Spread the good news. So I'm going to keep talking about that as the weeks go on and we get closer to the end of the month, so we understand exactly what this is going to look like. But it all comes down to, we're the church. We will not be silenced, and we will follow Christ every day to be the light in this world, because that's what's going to change the world. Not us sitting in here, us going out there and spreading the news.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.